This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's actually not a story about wealth or poverty, really. It's kind of in between somewhere. It's a story about a group that both presidential candidates have spent a lot of time talking about.
Middle-class families.
The middle class of America.
The middle class.
The middle class.
But who exactly is the middle class? There is no government definition. Economists don't always agree. Most people think they're in there somewhere. Marketplace's Chrissy Clark explores who we're really talking about when we talk about the middle class.
When you close your eyes and picture the typical middle class American, what do you see?
You got a job.
Work.
A decent wage.
And maybe this.
You own a house.
Home. A barbecue in the backyard.
From LA to Cleveland to Dallas, no matter where we asked people to define middle class, they agreed on a lot of the basics. But start filling in the details and things get tricky. Like that decent job. What qualifies as decent?
White collar.
Doctor. Lawyer.
As well as blue collar.
Teachers.
Skilled trades.
Auto worker.
In fact, people couldn't agree on even just the basic philosophy of what it means to be middle class. Is it
the ability to provide the necessities of life?
Or this.
Able to buy things not because they need to, but because they want to.
Okay, so if you're confused, that's because the definition of middle class is confusing. Especially at this point in history.
It's like middle class is disappearing.
It ain't but rich and poor right now.
It's not what it used to be, basically.
So, what did it used to be? It must be time for
great moments in middle class history.
First stop, 1792. One of the first references to the middle class is made by an American, namely Thomas Paine, who wrote,
"A poll tax was levied. It excited, as it naturally must, universal detestation among the poor and middle classes."
Even then, the middle class stereotype was someone annoyed by taxes. But aside from that, the similarities end, because the middle class Paine was talking about wasn't white collar or blue collar. It was
the yeoman farmer.
That's Michael Lind with a think tank called the New America Foundation. Once upon a time, he says, our founding fathers realized that if they were going to actually make their crazy idea of a democracy work, they needed something that didn't really exist yet.
A dominant middle class who, because of a certain amount of economic security and economic independence, is capable of playing various roles that society in a republic demands, whether it's as a voter or as a juror.
And since there were a lot of farmers running around back then, they seemed like good candidates for the job. But Lind argues these guys didn't just naturally become economically independent and secure. Americans' first middle class didn't just happen. It was made.
An artificial creation of private sector and public sector policies. Distribution of federal land to farmers through the Homestead Act. Elementary public education.
Of course, by the early 1900s, new technology meant we needed fewer farmers. The rest headed to factories and cities where they didn't get paid much. America looked at its dissolving middle class and started freaking out.
Thinkers on the left and the right and the center in the United States argued that, well, we have to do something. A desperate, low-wage majority that lacked property, that lacked any stake in society, would turn to demagogues. And a stable democracy requires a dominant middle class.
The average man must have that opportunity.
It took almost 30 years for the country to figure out how to bring that new factory worker majority into the middle class, something Franklin Roosevelt was still grappling with when he was president.
In the opportunity to accumulate a margin of security against the inevitable vicissitudes of life.
Those opportunities were secured, Lind says, thanks to public and private policies created during the New Deal and after World War II. Social Security, labor laws, the GI Bill. And voila, a new version of the middle class was born. Of course, fast forward to today, and we need fewer factory workers in the U.S., thanks once again to technology and a changing global economy. It's a very similar moment to the one 100 years ago, when we were shifting off the farms, according to Michael Lind. We've got a void where the bulk of the middle class used to be, and we haven't quite figured out how to fill it.
Education was the gateway to opportunity for me.
And both presidential candidates are trying to come up with a new vision for the future of the middle class this election year. For Obama, education is key.
It is the gateway to a middle class life.
For Romney, it's small business.
America's engine of job growth. That means reducing taxes on business, not raising them.
The problem is the math simply does not work.
That's Michael Lind again, and he means the math on both sides. On one hand, only about 10% of Americans are self-employed. On the other hand, 70% don't have college degrees. So the bulk of Americans won't be owning small businesses or becoming white-collar professionals anytime soon. most of the jobs will be
personal service jobs. Everything from elder care to child care.
To janitors and restaurant servers. Jobs that can't be offshored or automated.
The question is, will this be a huge population of the working poor? Or will we undertake the social reforms necessary to turn a service sector majority into a middle class majority?
Lynn says if we're really worried about the future of the middle class in this election, that's what we should be talking about. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.